This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Thank you very much. You may please be seated. Father, we look into your word of life this morning. Jehovah, I pray that by your Spirit you will teach us. Holy Spirit, the Bible says you are the revealer of secrets. You are the one that teaches us all truth. Lord, I pray that you will teach us all truth this morning, that your name and your name alone will be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to read from verse 13 to 28. Quite a read, but I'm sure we can do it. Matthew chapter 16, 13 to 28. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. You might want to underline that in your text, in your Bible. It was Jesus the Christ. Verse 21. From that day forth began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. This shall not be unto thee. Listen to me. Let me just pause here and just mention this quickly because I may not be able to get back to it. Listen. Every time you want to do the will of God, there will be people around you that will want to discourage you. Listen, they are not your enemies. Sometimes they may be your spouse. Sometimes they may be a very good friend. Sometimes they may be a close confidant. Amen? Peter was, you just heard what he said. He said, thou art the Christ. And Jesus said, oh, upon this revelation that Christ, that God has given you, that is where I'm going to build my church. He was a significant member of the disciples of Jesus Christ. And guess what? He was the number one person that is also saying, no, you will not fulfill your destiny. But I prophesy to you today, you will fulfill your destiny. Amen. The devil will use those that are close to you to hinder you from doing God's will. There are many today, because of the influence of others in their life, is the reason that they have not fulfilled fully and totally the plan and the will and the program of God for their lives. Verse 23, as we continue to read. And he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things of God, but those that are those that be of men. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life, not carelessly, but for my sake, shall find it. Verse 26. For what is a man profited, or what will it profit a man, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come, in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works. Verse 28 and the final verse for reading this morning. Verily I say unto you, there are some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in the name of Jesus. Last Sunday, we talked about the uniqueness of Christ, and I told you five things that was uniquely different about him. Number one, we said his birth was very unique, virgin birth. Since then, up till now, there is no history of virgin birth anywhere else. Number two, I told us that it was God in the flesh, God incarnate. Number three, I told us that his doctrine was very unique. The way he spoke, everybody was like, this man is different. Number four, I told you that his miracles and the demonstration of his power were very, very unique. And number five, we talked about his death and his resurrection. That was a spectacle. And in closing, last Sunday, I asked a question. I said, so with all of these things, knowing this about Christ, what should my response be to this Jesus? What should my response be to Christ? And we read Luke chapter 5 and verse 11 that says, they forsook all and followed him. That was the response of his disciples. When they saw this man, they saw his life, they saw everything. The Bible says they gave up everything and they followed him. And I read a verse of scripture to us in Psalm 106 and verse 39. Psalm 106 and verse 39. And it reads, it says, thus were they defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Every time that I decide to do my own thing, it will be a defilement to me. There is a purpose. There is a reason why you are here. There's a reason why God made you. There's a reason why God made me. And unless I fulfill that purpose for which I was created, it's chasing shadows. Everything else is shadows. Everything else is shadows. And in verse 27 from where we have read today, it connects to our conclusion last week. And I'll just mention that quickly, and then I'll get into the body of the message today. Matthew 16, verse 27, Jesus said, he said, I am coming back. I'm going to die. I will go to Jerusalem. The elders, the scribes, and all of these people, they are going to treat me very wickedly. I am going to suffer, and I'm going to be killed. I will die. On the third day, I will resurrect. But I will go to heaven, but I'm coming back. Somebody say he's coming back. You are not sure. Say he's coming back. He has promised that he's coming back. He's not a man that he will lie, nor the Son of Man that he will repent of what he has said. He said in verse 27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. And then, somebody say, and then. Say like me, say, and then there is going to be a reward. He said, he shall reward every man according to his works. So that tells us that we must begin to think about our works. Begin to think about your works. Lastly, I forgot to announce this. Next Saturday, September 17th, is our food distribution as well. So in the morning, 10 to 1, we have food distribution. And in the evening, 7 to 9, we have the seminar. So let's get into the message for today. The title of the sermon today is In Christ Alone. In Christ Alone. The text that we read today, a conversation ensued in the beginning. Jesus asked his disciples, he said, who do men say that I am? Whom? What was the word in town? Or what are people saying? Who do they say that I am? Do you know it is important to God what you know and what you don't know? Too many believers today are ignorant of the Savior in whom they have believed. And Apostle Paul, with all his knowledge, the Bible tells us in Philippians 3:10, he was still praying. His one singular prayer was that I may know him. That I may know him. And in Colossians 1:9, he was praying for the church at Colossae, and his prayer for them was that they might be filled with the knowledge of the will of God in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that their understanding will not be darkened by carnality. Too many believers' understanding today has been darkened with carnality because everybody is concerned about what I want. Mine. But that is not Christ. So Jesus asked them, he said, who do men say that I am? And if I say, who is Jesus this morning, the same way we will chorus all kinds of answers was what happened. So when he asked them, I said, some say that you are John the Baptist. Some say that it was a chorus answer. But he said, whom do you say that I am? Then he went quiet and only Peter could speak. Because it takes revelation to know and understand the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Many have accepted him and they have not known in whom they have believed. One of the things that will be apparent about our lives when we know in whom we have believed is a change in our life. Amen? Amen. Your taste will change. Your thoughts will change. Your actions will change. Your response to situations will change. Once you see Jesus, everything else changes. Everything else changes. So who do you say that I am? So Peter said, well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the Most High God. You see, a little historical background here. Why did Jesus decide to actually even ask them? He was asking them because there was all kinds of talk about him out there. They didn't understand who he was. In fact, in John chapter 10, verse 24. John chapter 10 and verse 24, the Bible says, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly. You know, everybody was, they said, okay, we see you are a great man. You see, we see you are doing some uniquely different, special, spectacular thing. Who are you? Who are you? So there was all kinds of talk about the person of Jesus Christ. So he wanted to find out what his own disciples knew about him. Do you know there's a lot of talk about Christ today? Can you answer affirmatively to anyone that will ask you of your faith who Christ is? The knowledge of Christ is the beginning of any Christian walk. It's not the knowledge of prosperity, 10 steps to success, and all of these things. No. Those are add-ons. Somebody say add-ons. Those are add-ons. The number one knowledge you and I need is the knowledge of who Christ is. I read something very funny. It cracked me up so much. I hope there's nobody like that here. Listen. A pastor was preaching, and he remembered a joke. So it was in his sermon, he was going to tell the joke. So he said, what are the epistles? You know, and somebody that was very forward, he said, oh, those are the wives of the apostles. So the whole church bursted into laughter. And after the service, another lady came and met the pastor and said, pastor, I didn't quite get the joke. Who are the wives? So if the epistles are not the wives of the apostles, who are the wives of the apostles? People are more ignorant person. Praise the Lord. You know, I hope nobody here thinks the epistles are the wives of the apostles. So knowledge is very important, is the point I'm trying to make here. Because if you don't have knowledge, you will speak out of order. Remember, Job, I showed you that scripture, Job 32, I believe. Job 42, at the end of his life, he looked back. He said, I darkened knowledge. I spoke that which I did not understand. He said, Lord, show me things that are too wonderful for me to understand. Our number one prayer as children of God should not be stuff. Our number one prayer is the knowledge of his will. The knowledge of his will. Knowledge is very important. And this is why, one of the reasons why, Jesus was trying to find out from his disciples what they knew, who they knew, who they understood him to be. And Peter answered correctly. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Amen. Many of us, the way we refer to Jesus, we call him Jesus Christ, as though Christ is his last name. No, it's Jesus the Christ. The question that you must ask yourself is, who is the Christ? The Greek word translated Christ is Christos. Christos means Messiah. Messiah. Who is a Messiah? Who is the Messiah? A Messiah is a liberator, a leader, a savior, a champion, a defender. So when you think of Jesus Christ, think of him as the Messiah. When you think of him as the Messiah, remember that the Messiah is a liberator. So are you held captive by anything? He has come to liberate you. Hallelujah. He's a defender. Is there any accusation that they have brought up against you? Is there anything that is going on in your life that you need defense, you need counsel? He's what? He's a defender. He's an advocate. The Bible says he daily maketh intercession for us. He's sitting by the right hand of the Father. And guess what? He's not sitting there chilling. He's sitting there praying. Hallelujah. Amen. The Messiah is the Savior. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, Matthew 1, 21, he said, his name shall be called Emmanuel because he has come to deliver his people from their sin. The number one mission of Christ, the number one reason Jesus came, is not to give you house. It's not to give you husband. It's not to give you wife. And there was a time I thought, I'm of age. Jesus, what are you looking at? Where's the wife now? I didn't know he was preparing some herbs for me. You know, thank God I waited. Thank God I was in some anxious moments. You know, almost said the things I shouldn't have said, to whom I have no business any to. But thank God, he gave me peace. God will give you peace. Amen. So he's the champion. He's the deliverer. He's the savior. He's the defender. That is who he is. And you know what? The Jews, they understood this. That is why the Jews were very particular and they were seeking and looking for the Christ. Because they knew that when Christ comes, he's going to change a lot of things about their life. So when Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 43 and verse 19, our scripture of the month, Isaiah 43 and verse 19, he said, behold, I will do a new thing. The Jews understood that when Christ comes, he's going to do a new thing. May God do a new thing in your life. Amen. Because Christ is here. It's the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So if Christ is in me, I have the hope of glory already. Hallelujah. So the fact that Christ comes, it means newness has come.
Yes.
Amen. It means liberation has come. Amen. It means victory has come. The Jews knew this. The Jews knew it. So when the Bible says, by his stripes we were healed, the Jews understood that when the Christ comes, the Christ is going to fulfill all these scriptures. That's why they looked forward. They were very anxious. And they knew he was going to liberate them even from their troubles. Amen.
Amen.
Who is this Christ? Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says in Joel chapter 2 and verse 32. Joel chapter 2, verse 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. I don't know about you. Whosoever includes my name. When Adekoye Sonny calls upon the Lord, he shall be delivered. When Joyce Adekoye Sonny calls on the Lord, she shall be delivered. When you call on the Lord, you will be delivered. You know why? Because Christ already fulfilled all of these prophecies of the Old Testament. And he said, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant of whom the Lord shall call. This is one very important reason why you and I must continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the way, when you read through the scripture, especially the letters of Apostle Paul, the way he said it, so beautiful. The way he renders it, relating us to Christ, is he says we have all of these things in Christ. Somebody say, in Christ.
In Christ.
In Christ. In Christ. You read through the Acts of Apostles, you read through the book of Romans, you read through the Galatians, Thessalonians, and all of these things. He was talking about the realities of us being in Christ. Listen, in Christ Jesus, he has given us unbelievable promises. Amen? When we begin to live in the reality of these promises, our lives can never, ever remain the same. It's just impossible. It's just impossible. So, in Christ, I have 5 points here that I'm going to run through very quickly. Who you are in Christ. Amen? Who I am in Christ and who you are in Christ. Number one, in Christ, you are justified and redeemed. So, for as many of us as have surrendered and given our lives to our Lord Jesus Christ, you are redeemed and you are justified. You know, a lot of people, the reason they are the way they are and have not surrendered to Christ is because they do not know what or whom or whatever Christ stands for. They have a muddled up understanding of Christ. There's one extreme of those that are holier than thou and make everybody else feel useless and ridiculous. And then on the other hand, you have those that have taken their liberty to the extreme. They are living a life that is not different from the life of the unbeliever, so the unbeliever cannot accept what they have. And then the other people on this side, they are too judgmental. The unbeliever thinks they are wicked. But in Christ, you are justified and you are redeemed. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Romans chapter 3, verse 24, it says, being justified, listen to this, freely, somebody say freely.
Freely.
Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, I am justified and I am redeemed. What does it mean to be redeemed? To redeem is to buy back. You know those people that engage in lottery? I know nobody does that here. In Jesus' name. You know, when they play the lottery and the combination wins, what do they do? They take their card to go redeem the gift. Hallelujah. The Bible says Christ has redeemed us, redeemed you and I from the curse of the law, redeemed you and I from everything that Satan has to offer. It does not matter where you are. It does not matter the kind of life you were living before. The Bible says once you come in Christ, you are redeemed. Not only are you redeemed, you are justified. You are justified. To be justified, it means somebody has paid the price on your behalf and has said you are free to go. Even though I sinned, even though I did wrong, he has justified me. He has justified me. Number two, in Christ you are guiltless. Amen? in Christ, I am guiltless. In Christ, I am guiltless. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, there is therefore now. Somebody say now. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If I am in Christ, the Bible says there is no condemnation to me now. Now, you know, I've told you about this. You know, after I gave my life to Christ, after a few years, really, after a few years, my friends were still in doubt of my salvation. You know, they thought I would still come back. They said, Koye, that Koye has always died and resurrected. And I told them, I said, that Koye is dead and is dead for good. In fact, if that Koye tries to come up, I will kill him myself. Hallelujah. So they will try to remind me of the things that I did back in the day. And I'll tell them, that is the Koye that lived then. That Koye is dead. That Koye, you are talking to a dead man. A dead man cannot serve sentence. A dead man cannot pay for any wrong that he has done. If he died, he's dead, he's done with. I am dead, crucified with Christ. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of Man. I am guiltless in Christ Jesus. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But you see, there's a qualification there. It's only for those who are in Christ. Only for those who are in Christ. Amen. First John chapter 4, verse 10. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. He said, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. You know, the propitiation. What is propitiation? He sent him to be the propitiation for our sin. God sent Jesus to placate or to pacify himself for our sins. So all your sins and my sins, even before we committed them, they were nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus took my sin upon himself, and that is why he qualified me and justified me to be guiltless before the Father. Hallelujah. Who am I in Christ Jesus? Justified and redeemed. Who am I in Christ Jesus? Guiltless and blameless by the blood of Jesus. Said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the one that knew no sin became sin for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. It said, for he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In him, in Christ. The him there is Christ. In him, in him. Number three. So number one, he has justified and redeemed me. Number two, he has made me guiltless. Guiltless by his blood. By his blood. He paid the price. He paid the penalty. He satisfied the wrath of God for me. So I can stand boldly before the throne of mercy. The throne of grace to obtain mercy. Hallelujah. Amen. Number three, I am sanctified in Christ. I am sanctified in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ. My sanctification is in Christ. What is sanctification? It means to be separated. I've been separated unto him. I've been cleansed. I've been purged. I've been made whole. I've been made clean for a righteous use. For a righteous use. Not for the devil, but for his glory. For his glory. Amen. My life is only good for one thing, and one thing only, to make God proud. To make God proud. To make God proud. Amen? He said, to them that are sanctified in Christ, called to be saints, Pastor Joyce was preaching on this at the Holy Ghost night, that we are saints, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Hebrews 10:10. He said, by which will we are sanctified. We are sanctified through the offering of the blood, body of Jesus Christ once for all. Friends, what Jesus came to do is so good that it's unbelievable. And that is why many people are having a problem with it. He said, you know what? One man, he said, by the same way that sin came into the world, by one man, he said, righteousness has come to the world by one man. Amen? Through Adam, sin came. The last Adam brought righteousness. Not righteousness by the law, by fulfilling the law, but by righteousness, by believing, having faith in Christ. Amen? And that's the plan of God for us. God wants to redeem the world that he has created. He wants to redeem humanity that he has created. I pray that you will be able to arguably, clearly, justifiably present to God the gospel to people so they know what is freely offered to them. It says, freely, by grace, he has come to redeem us in Christ Jesus. Amen? I am sanctified in Christ. It says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It means when Jesus went to the cross and died and shed his blood, it put me in a different class when I accepted what he has done. Amen. And in the book of Romans, when you read, I believe, chapter 4 and 5, you know, Apostle Paul was making an argument. He said, look, the righteousness that Abraham obtained, he said, was it before or after the circumcision? Was it before or after the law? His righteousness that he obtained, the Bible says, he believed God and it was counted as righteousness for him before he was circumcised. Amen? Before he was circumcised and before the law was given. He said that was an example of what Christ was coming to do. So the righteousness today that we have is righteousness that is by faith in Christ Jesus. Righteousness by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen? So I am sanctified in Christ. Number four, I am approved in Christ. You know, there's a lot of people that they worry so much about people accepting them. They want to belong. They will do all manner of things, all kinds of things, just to belong. Jesus is saying you are already approved. Amen. He's saying you are already accepted. Amen. You are not about to be accepted. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you belong to the best class possible on earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 16, verse 10. Romans chapter 16, verse 10. This is Apostle Paul writing. Say, salute Apelles, approved in what? In Christ. Approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Ephesians 1:6. He said, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. It said, God, Christ, through Christ, we have been accepted in the beloved. Anybody that will not accept me in Christ as I am, guess what? Let them remain the way they are. It means I don't need to be part of their club. Amen? I don't need to be a part of whatever it is they have called themselves to do. But the Bible says, I am already accepted. What, you know what that means? It means there's no inferiority complex. You're not better than me. I'm not better than you. You can think whatever of yourself that you want to think, but in Christ, I'm approved. Amen. So, oh, he stutters a little bit. Thank you, Jesus, for my stuttering. Hallelujah. You know, his gait is not very, say, thank you very much. What's his name? Jacob had a swag after his encounter with God.
Hallelujah.
And the Bible says he was walking with a limp. He had a swag. Thank you. That's my swag. You are already accepted. Stop running helter-skelter, doing stuff just to prove whatever to anybody. You know, some people, they will give them a shot of rum or brandy. Or say, if you know you are a man, drink it. Okay. So I drink it. How does that make me a man? Amen. I am already accepted in the beloved. Number five. Amen. Number five. Number one is what? I am justified and redeemed. Number two, I am guiltless. Number three, I am sanctified. Number four, I am approved. I am accepted. I'm acceptable to God in Christ. In Christ. No makeovers. Hallelujah. Number five, in Christ, I am loved by God. God loves me. God loves me. You can say it for yourself. God loves me. And God loves you too. God loves you too. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of God, which is where? In Christ. Which is where? In Christ. Jesus, our Lord. God loves me. In fact, Jeremiah caught scope of this when he said in Jeremiah 31, 33, he said he has loved us with an everlasting love. The Bible says in 1 John, he said, God, his very nature is love. His very nature is love. He said, therefore, whoever that does not love does not know God. If you don't love, you don't know God. In fact, the proof of your knowledge of God is that you love. You love. That's the proof of your knowledge of God. Your love life, how you are able to love on people that cannot repay you. You know, it's easy for you to love somebody that is giving you hookups all the time. But people that cannot pay you back. Hallelujah. Jesus fulfilled all of this, and he said that in the text that we read, Matthew chapter 16, in verse 19, he said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I think this thing is low. Can you hear me? You hear me good? Okay, that's good. So, if Christ has made all of these provisions for us, no, it's okay. They can hear me. It's okay. If Christ has made all of these provisions for us, why is it that we don't leave these things out? Number one reason. In fact, I put it in bold. In uppercase and bold. Ignorance. 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 Too many people, you know, when we come to church, one of the reasons we come to church like this is that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. He wants us to grow in grace and in knowledge. That's why we come gathered. Anytime you come to church and you have not grown in knowledge, you have wasted time coming that Sunday. So that's why it's important. You cannot come to church and not have a notebook and a pen, or, you know, I know young people today, you take notes on your phone. Take some kind of note, something that would remind you and refresh your memory, because you must grow in knowledge. If you are coming to church and you are not growing in knowledge, there is a problem. There is a problem. In the movie that I was telling you about, Scarlett, there was an individual there that they had reserved an estate of over $70 million for her. And she lived a life of suffering and pain. Did she have the inheritance? Absolutely. Did she enjoy it? Absolutely not. The fact that you are suffering today is no proof of the fact that God has left you. It's just proof of your ignorance. Amen? The only thing my present day suffering proves is not the inability of God or to provide for me. He has provided. If I'm not enjoying what he has provided, it's not up to him, it's up to me. Ignorance. Number two, and I'm going to close on this. He said to his disciples, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven so that everything you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. You know what he's saying? He's saying you are calling the shots both here on earth and in heaven. That's what he's saying. He said everything you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. It means you are incredibly and unbelievably powerful than you have imagined. He said, and everything you lose here on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It means heaven is waiting at attention to your command. But before you can make that happen, listen to this. He said to them, in verse 24 of Matthew 16, verse 24, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if, somebody say if is a conditional word. It means you can do it and you can choose not to do it. He said, if any man will come after me, let him do three things. Let him deny himself, let him carry his cross, and let him follow me. Listen to me. Listen close. All those three things are contrary to our lifestyle today. They are contrary to the modern culture, and they are contrary to the American culture that we live in. Number one, he said, let him deny himself. That is not a current day message. Deny yourself. Give somebody else the right of passage of way. No. In fact, people will kill to have the right passage of way. But Jesus said, if you are going to be my disciple, you must learn to deny yourself. Yes, it is your right to get it. Yet it is your turn to get it. But can you say, Demilade, you can have it. You can have it. It is contrary to our way of thinking. It is contrary to anything that we desire or we want that you should let somebody else deny yourself. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. It's saying if you are going to be a true disciple of mine, you must learn to deny yourself of pleasure. You must learn to deny yourself. The ability to deny yourself is what is going to position you to where God wants you to be. For most people, the idea is get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. Get all you can it up. And sit on the can so that nobody else gets it. For you to make progress, you must learn to deny self. Number two, say, take up your cross. Take up your cross. In this society and in this culture, people don't take their crosses anymore. In fact, there are people today that say their life is the way it is because somebody didn't love them. Oh, my dad was not there for me. My mom was not there for me. It is about somebody else. It's never about them. He said, you must pick up your cross. What that means is take responsibility for your life. If you are going to be my disciple, you must pick up your cross and follow me daily. Following is contrary to the nature of most people today. They can't follow. They can lead. If they're in charge, everything is good. But if they're not in charge, there's a problem. So she doesn't even know what she's saying. I know better than him. I know better than her. It's always about comparing, I'm better. Okay, you are better, but you are not the one leading. Can you please be quiet and just follow? No, for real. You think President Obama is the brightest and the sharpest and the most intelligent in America today? No. Is he our president? Yes. Is he the commander-in-chief? Yes. Whatever instruction he gives, the order he gives, everybody obeys. Praise the Lord. The day he said it's okay for a man to marry a man, and he signed the executive order. He said, okay, in the military, don't ask, don't tell, I cancel it. Guess what? It became the law. Whether you like him or hate him, he's in charge. He has given instruction, follow. Sometimes God allows us to be under people that are not as bright as us to reveal what is inside of us. Because a lot of people lack humility. In fact, I used to think I was a very humble person until I joined the military. And they told us to sit on the floor. I said, he hold me. If it was half me that is sitting on the floor now, it would be good. He hold me. After that experience, I thought again, and I stopped saying that I was a very humble person because I thought, my humility didn't go far. Praise the Lord. Brethren, three things I want to close on today. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Take up. Everybody has a cross. Everybody. Everybody. You are not the best. There are a lot of people that are better than you. Get real with that fact. I'm not the best. There are hundreds, thousands, millions that are better than myself. Amen? So don't be depressed because somebody is better than you. Amen? He said, pick up your cross. Pick up your cross. There's no reason for you to be depressed because somebody doesn't like you. You don't like me, but the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, he's in love with me. Ha! If you have Obama as your friend, and you go to the White House at will, you have dinner, you are posting it on Facebook, and somebody doesn't like you, say, those are haters, let them keep hating. Let them keep hating. That's all right. Let them keep hating. Let them keep hating. Hallelujah. Please rise to your feet this morning. I believe the Lord has spoken to one or two people today. Why don't you talk to the Lord? Talk to him. It says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him, and follow me. Would you follow him? The Lord is asking you today. You have accepted him as your Lord and Savior. Then what? Now what? Why don't you bow your heart? Close your eyes. Just ignore everyone around you. Make it personal this morning and talk to the Lord. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come unto you this morning. I surrender all. In Christ alone. In Christ alone. In Christ alone. Lord, from this day going forward, I determine to deny myself daily and let you have your way in my life. Let your will be done. If the will of the Lord will be done in your life, you must learn to deny yourself. Life is not all about you and what you want. Hallelujah. Life is all about him that gave his life for you. Talk to the Lord. Say, carry your cross daily. Ask for the grace to carry that cross. Ask for the grace to carry your cross daily, on a daily basis, and the grace to follow him. You know, to follow means you have to surrender your will. You surrender your will. You give up your own desire. You give up what you want to do. Apostle Paul had a plan of his path to success in the Jewish tradition and customs. When he met with Jesus, he surrendered that will and he followed Jesus. Will you follow him? Will you surrender to him? We thank you, Jehovah. I give you praise and I give you glory. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I bless this congregation in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You will fulfill destiny. You will fulfill God's purpose for your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will put away your own personal inventions. Those things that have defiled you, you will do away with them and you will follow the Lord in the mighty name of Jesus. The will of Jehovah will be done in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, for in Jesus' mighty name I have prayed. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.